Heidi and Frank show. Kevin Pollak. Is he here yet? Was he in the Rizzo Farms Green Room?
Ooh, he is
oh,
here.
He's here.
Let's
follow
see.
Him on Twitter at Kevin Pollak on Twitter.
There he is. Look at that. Big famous Hollywood.
She is adorable, isn't
movie
she?
Star.
Oh, let's hear it for Sammy.
Oh, Sammy, our producer Sammy. Yay.
How you doing, man? Curly?
Very, very well. Kicking life right in the... How are you guys?
We're good. We're excited that you're here today.
What is with this giant high chair? What's happening?
See, I knew it.
What's happening with the chair? Let's start there.
It's too high.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Is this their way of saying I'm just a tiny Jew? I mean, I didn't need to be reminded, I'll be honest with you. Now I'm going to be reaching for 45 minutes.
Yeah, this is the world of where chairs go to die. All right. That's the one that's still alive.
You look unbelievably comfortable.
I'm not.
Lower it's still all, coming there. Down.
It's as low as it goes.
Let's go to a go ahead.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it. Still got a feet dangle.
Terrific.
Yeah. I'm a box.
Now, the question here is, how did you get involved with boxing at Barker, with boxing at all? Are you a big fan? Did you box in
the... At the Barker, yeah. No, this is kind of a giant big deal. Well, the guy behind it, Michael King, who is from the King World Productions back in the day of Jeopardy,
okay.
Wheel of Fortune, and Oprah.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. That gigantic, ginormous company. So he spent the last couple of years developing boxers and sort of creating a stable of ridiculous talent from all over the world. If you're of a certain age, then you feel like the boxing world,
mm-hmm.
its heyday is maybe 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And before that, of course. So Michael spent the last couple of years with the notion of, how do I rebuild the boxing competition in the boxing world and not be beholden to cable networks who kind of run it now.
Right.
Yeah, the,
right.
the promoters, it seems like, yeah, if a guy doesn't want to hurt his record, then they won't put on good fight. I mean,
yeah.
they won't fight, and then when they do fight and it goes to the judges, it's always like, what? You always feel like you got ripped off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah, the idea here is that you get he's created this world of evenly matched opponents without, you know, giant belts and titles. They're on their way.
So it's good boxing.
Well, it's brilliant because these guys are like 39-2. These are not wow. ranked amateurs. Mm-hmm. These are killers. They're amazing. They're truly astonishing.
Now, can people go to this event?
Oh, they can. Yeah, I mean, there's some tickets still left available. It's Wednesday the 16th.
So
Santa Monica Airport, a week from tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, Boxing at Barker, it's called. And he wanted to bring kind of show business atmosphere also to the event to
yeah.
make it entertainment. As well as boxing, so I'm hosting the thing.
You're not
so
getting
it says master of ceremonies. Does that mean you're in the middle of the ring and when the microphone comes down? So like,
I do. I have 8 days to come up with what my moniker is going to be. Maybe we should take some calls and some suggestions on what my version of what were the previous ones.
Yeah, because those guys are serious. Because if you've heard them before, I mean, they have that stuff, you know, that's locked down and they own it. You can't, mm-hmm. even, you know,
you
like
can't,
the
we
whole,
couldn't even say it right now.
Yeah, that's just it. Whatever I come up with, I have to trademark it.
Yeah.
So I have 8 days to figure that out.
No pressure.
Yeah, I've got my team of monkey attorneys standing by waiting to get the patent filed.
Well, I've never seen a boxing match in person. I love to watch boxing, but apparently it's totally different in person.
It's utterly different, and I'll give you the perfect example, actually. I was ringside for the bite.
Oh, you were?
When Tyson took part of Holyfield with him. And I was literally ringside for that. And it was astonishing. First of all, when you are ringside in that situation, that live event,
mm-hmm.
you know, you a moment like that happens in a nanosecond. There's no instant replay. There's no announcers.
Right, right.
Saying, let's take a look again. I think he bit him. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. You know, there's none of that. It's
right.
just they get into a clinch. One guy holds his ear and the ref says, it's over. Go home.
Whoa.
But the energy there in that room in that moment still, I mean, had to be like a payoff because...
it was extraordinary. And honestly, I mean, I was at a bunch of fights over the years from Holyfield to...
I went to Vladimir Klitschko versus Lennox Lewis out here. And that was a great fight, and it was called because he got that giant cut on his face.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I mean, yeah, but sold out as Staples and it had the energy.
The energy is
ridiculous. Collective... force.
Here's
from
the
crowd.
Difference. I'll give you an example. Watching hockey on TV and being at mm-hmm. a hockey
okay, completely
game.
Different.
Yeah, because yeah. when you're on TV, you're trying to find the puck.
Right.
When you're watching it on TV, where is that damn thing?
This is awful.
And then when you're there, it's astonishing. There's electricity in the air that's ridiculous. So fighting and boxing happens. These guys are just ridiculous athletes in terms of their strength.
They say he found like 39 boxers from, or did you say 39 or just a bunch of boxers from around the world?
Yeah.
How many matches are going to go on?
Five?
Yeah. Five. And so, I mean, that. As far as an event goes, I mean, you have to have like five fights.
Now, are these guys that are like, I want to make a name for myself so I can come up so that everybody knows my name?
Some of them already have a huge name internationally.
Okay, got
but
it.
They're not known in the States.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, most of them, if not perhaps all
until
of them.
Next Wednesday.
So, so the idea that Michael spent the last couple of years developing this world, the notion is, you know what, let's put on a few of these events. Let's see how they go. I'm not going to make a deal with any of the television networks or broadcast cable networks. I'm just going to put on these events and get the electricity going in back into the ring and make it about the fighters and make it about the fight fans.
Is that how UFC and MMA started? It was none of that stuff was televised in the early days.
That's
of that,
exactly
right? It was just live events, and then
yeah.
It got so big it was like pay-per-view phenomena.
There's something about you're only going to see this as it's happening, quite frankly,
right?
That lends itself. And it's part of the idea to bring me in and some of my comedy friends to make this more of an entertainment event as well.
Something for everybody.
Yeah. So
if you're not, if the wife's not into boxing, but you're like, but listen, Kevin Pollak's going to be there. And she's like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that might, you're the draw for somebody who's like, well, I love Kevin Pollak. We could go see him.
Well,
I don't give a damn about the boxing part,
yeah.
But, you know. Oh.
Here's the thing. When you call a few rounds as Christopher Walken, it mixes it all up, quite frankly. Ooh, that was a sharp blow. You know, these words take on their own meanings when coming from my face, technically. Yeah, there's going to be some shenanigans.
Oh, good. Now, I mean,
they say, like, obviously, MMA and how it's advanced with popularity has hurt boxing, but I think that there's
because boxing didn't keep up. I'll be honest with you.
I think there's room for both. I don't think you have to have one of the
there's
other.
Always going to be room for both. It's like, well, I don't know about this football thing. It seems to be creeping up on the baseball enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
They are wildly different sports and as different, I think, as baseball and football, quite frankly, even though the idea of a ring and fighters is the same. But everything else about it is ultimately.
Have you ever done any boxing in your past?
My people tend to sell the concession.
Okay.
yeah. You're allowed to be a fan without participating.
If you had the boxing nickname.
Why you got to call me out like that?
Yeah. The boxing nickname.
How dare Kevin. You have anything to do with this boxing at Barker? If you yourself have not thought of. Have you ever actually tried to stay on your feet? And engage in boxing for three
minutes.
I can't even imagine.
It's you can't fathom how after 40 seconds you're like, I think I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Because for the adrenaline and the constant movement and, you know, the idea of you know.
But being hit right in the face.
Yeah.
Like, that'd take the wind out of your sails a little bit. I'm like.
And you get hit a few
times. You take all time. No time.
You get hit a few times. And it also, your heart just races at a level that you're not familiar with quite in the human race.
No, I'm excited about this. I've been a boxing fan and an MMA fan. And like I said, I think there's room for both sports. It's like, it's two different types of fighting. It's like, and people like to see just the stand up with the boxing part of it. And I think
there's a great deal of technique in both. But clearly, there's a style and technique. In boxing that is just truly extraordinary to see live.
What would your boxing nickname be? Kevin
the Littlest Suspect.
There you go.
Because you don't expect you to be like big badass fighter.
The Littlest Suspect. I'm going to go. I'm going to go with that for sure. Also the name of my last comedy special,
right.
So I'll take it.
It works. Keep it the branding.
Yeah.
You know?
It works out.
There's a reason that my book is called How I Slept My Way to the Middle. That literally is the title of my book.
I want to talk to you really quickly about poker because I know you're a big poker player. Now tell me if I'm crazy. Do you think it's fair? Because I think if you're a good poker player, be a poker player. Don't show up with the hoods and the glasses and all that. Do you think that should be illegal?
I actually do. The hoods I don't really care about, but sunglasses I think should be removed.
You're a professional poker player and you're sitting there. The whole point of poker is you've got a poker face.
Is there somebody who takes it even further than beyond sunglasses? Is someone sitting there in a Jason mask and sunglasses? I mean,
would that be allowed?
You know, that's a good question. I've been playing in the World Series of Poker main event the last couple of years, and I may show up with a ski mask or
would they let you do that?
Like I'm holding up a bank.
Who's the guy who wears the helmet? Dubstep? Or Skrillex or whoever it is. Who are those guys who wear the helmets? They'll be in the next tournament. Their helmets on.
Right.
Yeah, show them the motorcycle helmet. There you go.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad.
No, I agree. It should be. You're right.
It's called a poker face. Not, well, I don't have a poker face, so I'll wear sunglasses.
Half the fun of the game to me is reading your opponent and trying to figure out who it is you're up against. And, you know, if I've been playing it my whole life, so at a certain point it does become like the seventh level of Spock chess.
Have you, obviously you're not going to tell us, but do you have a tell?
Oh, yeah.
That you have to be you really have to be careful?
Everyone does. My tell right now is that I'm not crazy about this chair.
So you're going to fold, essentially.
You gave that away really early.
I folded when I walked in on this chair.
Yeah. He's all in on the chair.
Yeah, no. Yeah, everyone has tells. Everyone does. And the idea is how to read them and how to mask your own. I mean, that's about 40% of the game.
So cool.
I mean, it really, listen, the old adage, if you play golf or any other, just about any other sport, it's better to be lucky than good. Well, it certainly applies to poker as well. But while you're waiting for the luck to come, you better know what the hell you're doing. It really is a high level of chess that's going on.
What's the farthest you ever made it in one of these large tournaments?
Well, 2 years ago was the first time I played in the World Series of Poker main event, the one that's on your ESPN.
Yeah.
5,698 players, something like that. No, I know, because it was 6,598 players. It was just shy of 6,600.
Mm-hmm.
Started $10,000 ahead. That's what the seat cost.
Okay.
I was sponsored by the fine folks at Hollywood Poker. I'm not stupid.
not your own money.
No.
No.
6,600 players. Just too shy of that. And I finished 134.
Kevin, that's awesome.
Oh, it was astonishing. I went to the end of day five and, you know, playing at the feature table. You hit what they call the min cash, which means you get the buy-in back early on day four. So to make it to the end of day five was truly ridiculous. Yeah, way beyond my expectation. You just want to last through day one so your friends don't give you crap for the rest of your life. That's really what you want.
Please let me last.
Please let me get
so
through
the first hand, day. So what hand beat you, take you out?
Interesting you should ask.
Oh, boy.
I know you didn't forget.
there's no way to forget this, but you're right. There's no way to forget ever, no matter what. Even this last year when I only made it through day three. Just shy of day
four. So you're saying is you're getting worse.
Yes. Yeah. yeah, I told my sponsor, actually, when they said, so we're going to do it again. I said, nope, we're not. I'll be honest with you. We're not
going
to get to the end of day five. If you really want to know the truth, you need to appreciate that I got to the end of day five that first time because that was just ridiculous. I mean, I think I may be wrong, but some correct. It's far, definitely further than any known celebrity has ever gotten by a lot. I mean, I knocked out Daniel Negreanu at the feature table on day five, arguably one of the best players in the world. You know, it's one of those things. So how did I lose? How did I go home?
Oh, no.
I had pocket queens, and I was what they call a short stack with just under 300,000 in chips. And, you know, you get pocket queens in that situation, and you shove. There's only one player to my left in this. You know, I'm really hoping to steal the blinds and be done with it, but I'm ready to play with my pocket queens. And the wonderful gentleman from Russia to my left, insta-calls, a short term for instantly calls me.
Oh, no.
Call it insta-call, which is good and bad.
See, the Russians are just nothing but trouble.
Yeah, they really are. So I said to Putin, what'd you call with? And he said something in Russian. So then I have pocket queens, pair of queens, and then he turns his cards over, queens.
Oh.
It's queens against queens.
Oh.
So then we both laugh, as you do.
Because
it happens every now and then. I don't know what the exact odds are, but it's pretty ridiculous that two players have the same starting hand.
Okay.
There are only four queens or four of anything. So it's you know, the odds are ridiculous. So, you know, we're laughing, and the flop comes with three cards in the middle, and two of them are hearts. And somebody says, hey, well, which one of you has the Queen of Hearts? And we look down, and sure enough, it's the gentleman from Russia. And then the turn card is a heart, and then the river is a heart, and he four-flushed a heart.
Oh!
Queens against queens.
On day five.
Go home.
I
go
just got
home.
That feeling go in the pit home. Of my stomach, and it wasn't even mine.
But here's the great thing that I discovered. When you lose that way, you get instant empathy from everyone.
Right, like,
as opposed to,
nothing you can do,
I overplayed ace-jack, right. And that's why I went home. You know what I mean?
Why
would you do that? You could have folded. No, you couldn't.
Right.
So if you go in with queens against queens, there's not a soul on the planet that can be upset about
right.
it.
Right. Oh,
just,
my
oh
God.
You poor bastard.
Kevin Pollak hanging out with us. He'll be the master of ceremonies for boxing at Barker. The event will introduce some of the most exciting young boxing talents from around the world. And it's going to be happening at Barker and Hangar in Santa Monica next Wednesday, April 16th, 7 p.m. For your tickets, go to Ticketmaster.com. Thank
Santa
you so
Monica
much.
Santa Monica Airport. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. The idea of boxing coming back in a huge way, in a big ticket action, and that live event. And we're going to have a bunch of my funny friends there mixing it up between bouts and having some fun.
So yeah, if you've never been to live boxing, this is a good chance to go.
You got
to
check it out.
And to see what it's like. It is different. It's like watching, like you said, hockey on TV or hockey live.
Electric.
So much different. So thank you, Kevin, for coming in. Anytime, man.
All
seriously,
right.
Come
better
back.
Chair next time, I think?
Better
will.
Chair.
Okay,
we'll definitely have a different chair for you.
Awesome.
We'll be right back. We're Heidi and Frank. Come back to 95.5KLOS.com every day to hear more clips like these and to get the entire Heidi and Frank show. Go to HeidiandFrank.com and become a premium member. All access, people. On demand. Webcast. Behind the scenes. Too much to name right here. Go to HeidiandFrank.com. Check it out.